This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only nationally syndicated golf talk radio and television program. Presented by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
And good morning, Canada. Zucchino, no Weeks today. Adam Scully, in for Bob Weeks.
I'm back, baby.
I believe Mr. Weeks is...
He's flying out. He might be landed in Chicago by
as we speak.
I think so.
Yes, he is there for the Chicago Marathon. So good luck, Bob. Bob's such a dedicated runner, right?
Well, last week at the President's Cup, there were a couple mornings where he was out at like 6 a.m.
Yes. So I just want to go on record as I was not. I know, but you hit the gym. I saw you hitting the gym.
Not at 6 a.m.
No.
I was like a 7:30 kind of guy. But 6 a.m. running.
Yeah. I got to start doing something, man. Like I'm the only person.
Just go on steroids.
That could help, certainly. But what if it stunts my growth? Well, I think that happened a long time ago.
No comment there.
I would just like to say good morning to everyone listening coast to coast on the TSN radio network, whether you're listening online or at your TSN station, wherever you are. I just want to now completely irritate you and get this show off to the wrong start. I just want to say I've got my Stanley Cup tickets. I got my parade seat ready. Go Leafs, go. That's all I'm going to say.
So it's going to start on Bay Street, right?
Yeah, we're starting at Bay. And I live in Scarborough, so I'm trying to see if I can get the parade routed up down Kingston Road and South Scarborough and up my street. I'm trying to see if I can get that done.
I'm not sure if that's part of the Shanna plan, but I guess you could talk to Brendan about that. But a big win for Toronto, for sure.
Did you play golf this week?
Yes. Yeah, we were just talking off air. I had a very I had an exciting round of golf.
Yes. Tell our listeners what we spoke about your tip from your friend who is on the PGA Tour Latino America.
Yes, so my friend, keep tabs on him, Russell Budd. He is he is a professional trying to make it.
To the PGA or web.com.
Yeah, so he went to DePaul, and so he has his education. Now he's in his fourth year of actually trying to make it. Anyway, he was all about hitting up on the ball.
Yeah. With the driver.
With the driver. So the big example he was telling me was Justin Thomas, who's 5'9" at the absolute most, seeing him in person. Finally, at the absolute
super
most.
Thin too,
and he looks like he would be ID'd every time he goes to anywhere.
And he's a good guy though,
but a great guy,
very good.
But he's a little guy. He's PGA Tour has him listed as 5'10", 145.
Yeah, I think that's a WWE weighting. Yeah. Everybody puts on 20 and is 4 inches taller.
Yeah, well, when I played hockey, I was 6'6" and 195, and that's nowhere near that. No. Anyway, so Justin Thomas hits so up on the ball because he is, he's so small, but he gets the maximum distance, as we said before. That's what you do as well.
Well, I would say, there's no reason on earth that you and I should hit our drivers relatively the same. Like, you hit it by me, but not by as much theoretically as you should, right? Like, you should hit it much further than 10 past me.
Yeah.
And you will if you get to that, what you're talking about. I've been, Cameron from TaylorMade, Cameron James from TaylorMade, right? And Nick and the gang all up there, they always say when I go in there, my numbers are, almost... In terms of efficiency,
maxing out,
I'm almost maxing out on efficiency. Like, I'm never going to hit it further than I do right now, and I'm just only going to go backwards, right? So, because I'm getting old and everything hurts. But if you could do that, that's great. I fixed my putting before we get to news and headlines. I fixed my putting. Wow. I played in a Friends of Golf Ontario Day. It was hosted by Mr. Howard Atkinson, and it was a lovely day up at Goodwood. A very small group, intimate group at Goodwood, as Goodwood's very secret society.
Yes.
And I never kind of been on those greens before and whatnot. I got a putting tip by a gentleman named Anthony, which I can't say on the air. It is so offside. The putting tip was so offside, I can't even repeat it on the air. I couldn't repeat it on satellite radio, never mind terrestrial radio. But it worked. And shows how sick and twisted I am as an individual that something that offside would fix my putting. And right now, only a couple weeks away from Bandon Dunes, right now, I have only one putter going to Bandon Dunes. So that tells you
everything. And that's saying something. Now, is this putter still left-handed?
Yes. Okay. Yes, yes, okay. Yes. This was more a psychological thing. It was more like he was my doctor.
And did he hypnotize you?
No, he just tapped into something what other golf pros and instruction was not able to tap into. He sensed right away that I was a sick person, and you couldn't speak to me in normal human language. And he needed to tap into a dark part of my brain to fix my putting. He tapped into that. All right. We got lots to get to today. Ian Frazier is going to be here from TXG. That is one of the high performance custom fitting, custom build facilities here in Ontario. They got a location in Burlington, location in Toronto. Ian's going to be by to talk about all the changes and what's changed in that world. So if you're thinking about, you know, getting ready for next season in the off season, we're going to talk to Ian about that. Adam Stanley dropping by, who covers the web.com tour for PGAtour.com. We're going to talk about the two new Canadians on the PGA Tour, as well as the web.com tour finals. And also a little bit about PGA Tour Canada as well with Adam Stanley. Lots to get to. We'll do winners, weird, and what. But first, let's do some news and headlines.
News and headlines is brought to you by Golf PEI. With 400 fairways within a 45-minute drive, PEI is a golfer's paradise. Visit golfpei.ca to book your golf vacation and discover why PEI is Canada's number one golf destination.
Hey. News and headlines. We're just going out here today. Adam. I like that. The big crescendo at the end. You were at Liberty National last week.
What a great week.
It was a great week. The U.S. team smashes the international team 19-11 in one of the most lopsided victories of all time in any international competition. It was over before it started. We'll get into the next segment. We'll talk a little bit about potential tweaks in segment two. But just some general thoughts for you on the week. Were you surprised that I know sometimes when you go to a regular PGA Tour event, you get a feeling for the size of the event and the corporate hospitality, etc. Yeah. This was a big event at the foot of the of Manhattan.
It was a huge event, and I'd be curious to see what that golf course would be like on a regular tour event in terms of fans everywhere, because there's only fans or a lot of people on five holes except into the Sunday single.
Not a lot of real estate.
Exactly. Yeah. But a really interesting golf course.
Yeah.
The rerouting, which I was ending on a par 3, is still...
Okay, so I'm glad you brought that up, because the typical 18th hole at Liberty National is that difficult par 4 that rides the Hudson River. They 14, turned it into 14 this time. When they host the Barclays... which I've been to for a PGA Tour event. Now, the Barclays used to be the opening playoff event of the FedEx Cup. Right. Now it's the Northern Trust. Mm-hmm. But I was there several years ago for the Barclays when I used to do the wrap-up shows for PGA Tour. And that 18th hole was it was a beast. And it would always play in a wind.
Yeah.
And it was tough. I think they wanted to make sure that hole got into the broadcast, so they moved it to 14. Yeah. At the end of the day, though, I think even in a 19-11 bashing, it was a bashing at 19-11, I'm still surprised, and I think they're surprised, they being the PGA Tour, that there was as many matches that went to 18 that they actually got. I think they're surprised that all those that even in a bashing, a lot of matches saw the 18th hole.
Yeah, and we saw some great moments on that 18th hole as well. One that I know you'll get into later with Phil and Kevin Kisner doing the Three Amigos.
Yeah, that was awkward. I don't know about that one.
That was strange. That was very very unique. But in terms of the American team. As Tiger said afterwards, they just played better.
Yeah.
And Matsuyama he's tired or, maybe something's going on injury-wise.
And we'll get into that later with you as well,
yes.
Why guys might be tired.
Yes, we will. But it was a cool event in the sense that the presidents were there on the Thursday.
Yeah. Yeah.
And being, myself and cameraman Mark Millett got very close to them, which was kind of cool.
That's cool. And I took a lot of heat, by the way. I took some heat on social media because I said that I was proud to be part of a sport that recognizes that there needs to be social change in the world, and was open about that, but also chose to stand for anthems, not just their own, but the internationals as well, and flags, etc. And at no point did I bash the other side or suggest that they don't have a right to take a knee or they don't have the right to make that statement It's a non-violent protest. It's called freedom of speech. Mm-hmm. All the power to you. But I said, personally, for me, I was proud to be a part of a sport that just chose to go a different path. Acknowledge there's a problem, suggest we need to fix this problem, mm-hmm. but let's just kind of honor the flags and the anthems here that are people went nuts at me.
Which, yeah.
They went nuts at me.
Well, and a lot of the questions early in President's Cup week on the Tuesday and Wednesday were, you know, centered to Phil and Tiger and Ricky Fowler about the anthems, and they sort of shut it down and sort of said what you said. Yeah. So,
but I would understand people being upset if the golfers that share my opinion, which they share my opinion, mm-hmm. So people like myself and the members of the President's Cups teams, if the message was, there's not a social issue here. We don't need change. This is a problem. You know, I don't know what all the fuss is about, or you don't have the right to kneel, or you know, if that was the message, then I would understand the anger from the opposition. Yeah. I would also understand like the reaction on social media, but to come out and just say, listen, to validate the other side and then say, but we choose to do it this way. Shocked mm-hmm. at the anger, but that's to me, that's a snapshot of the problem in the world. Don't want to get political, but that's no. the problem. It's people are allowed to have opposite views of the world, and that's why mm-hmm. it's, you know, you go vote and you have governments and crazy. Oh, man, never mind. We can do 3 hours on what's wrong with the planet. Yeah, Brooke Henderson, you want to take cup half full? So there's this really, really intelligent golf broadcaster at the end of last season who said Brooke Henderson would win twice in 2017, and one of them might even be a major. He said he wouldn't be surprised, but definitely two wins for Brooke Henderson.
And who was that?
I can't quite remember. He's an Italian guy, works for TSN.
Lefty, right?
You left-handed as well. But what do you think about her win in New Zealand?
Well, it was a great win, her second of the season, and the big thing was in the conditions they were playing in. Because the play was halted a couple times because the wind was so crazy.
Okay, but to me, this makes sense. You want to know why this makes sense to me, Adam? Because, and this is why she plays majors so well. Because if it comes down to a putting contest, I don't like Brooke. I'm not saying she can't win. She's a great putter. You got to putt well to win. Mm-hmm. But that's her Achilles heel. When things aren't going well, her putter is not her friend.
No.
So as the harder the conditions get, the more we remove putting as the element, and ball striking becomes more important. You got to control your flight. Yeah. You got to control your spin. You have to hit it off the sweet spot. You need to know how to work it both ways. You got to hit it through windows. So you give me brutal conditions, and I'll take the ball striker every time, and she is going to win more often than not when ball striking is more important than putting.
Absolutely. And now in the last two years in the LPGA Tour, Brooke is now tied for second with 4 wins out of anyone, just behind Arya Jatanagar.
And second all-time behind Sandra Post, Canadians, female all-time. That's incredible.
And she's 20.
All right, we got to take a break. Before we do, Justin Thomas, Player of the Year. There was never a doubt in that one.
No.
And Xander Schauffele, Rookie of the Year. And I'd like to say there's probably never a doubt in that one either. When you win twice in your rookie season, including the Tour Championship. This guy a year ago made $140,000 on the web.com tour. And the final Sunday of the season, 2 weeks ago at Eastlake, he made $3.5 million after the FedEx Cup bonuses, etc. Unbelievable, and look out for him. So congratulations to JT. Congratulations to Xander. We're going to come back, take a break, and Adam and I will jump into some of the suggestions being made on how to fix the President's Cup. Do any of them have validity, or is it just reek of desperation? This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC was brought to you by Acura. Precision, crafted performance. Visit Acura.ca for our latest lineup, special offers, and dealer incentives. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by TaylorMade and the all-new P790 irons with speed foam technology. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to GTC. Hopefully you're playing golf today somewhere. It's still mild in southern Ontario, raining this morning, but it looks like it's going to be a nice afternoon as well as tomorrow and possibly Monday. So I hope everybody has a wonderful long weekend and happy Thanksgiving to everyone, and go play golf with your family and your friends. And that's what I typically do on Thanksgiving, get out there with Angry Mike and slap it around.
And work up an appetite for big Thanksgiving.
That's it. Squash a bird.
Yeah.
Well, so... Yeah. Now, speaking of squashing birds, I guess the international team was the big bird. By the way, Mr. Bob Weeks not with me today in studio. Weeksy is marathoning.
He's probably stretching right now, maybe.
Yeah, getting ready to go.
Visualizing
the run. He's at the Chicago Marathon. This is a big deal. This is a big marathon.
Yeah.
This is a big deal. And you know, Bob was telling before we get into the President's Cup, because, you know, I ask a lot of questions. This is what I do. And Bob said, I said to Bob the other day as we were leaving the studio, I said, so like, how, like what, so I know you've been training hard, but what do you do like the week before the marathon? Like, you keep going and pushing the envelope, or do you, it's like, no, you kind of have to back off and give your body rest like the week leading in. And he says, it's really weird because you got to switch gears, because for like 6 months, you're going as hard as you can and you're like pounding. And all of a sudden, the week before the big one, the reason why you've been doing this, you got to go the other direction. Give yourself body rest. And it's a hard mental adjustment, he said.
Yeah.
So hopefully, Bob, you got the mental adjustment to keep going. I know what I would have done. I would squash a bottle of Brunello and not been able to get up the next morning. That's
well, and maybe during his run, he's downloaded all the Golf Talk Canada podcasts. He's just listening.
I said, well, that's what he would do, right? That's to really give himself motivation. So. All right, President's Cup. Here are some of the things being floated around here. There's too many points. Now, I kind of agree with that.
Yeah.
I like the Friday, Saturday, Sunday of the Ryder Cup.
It's perfect.
They play less matches, fewer points. And I think that the more points on the table, the more days, Adam, the further you need to go in the depth chart of your team. Now, all that being said, this year it wouldn't have mattered because the top dogs of the international team were awful. And you got to lead from the top. Matsuyama was awful. Day was awful. Leishman was awful. Who am I missing? Scott was awful. Okay, these are the guys that are supposed to lead this way. Okay, I'm not picking on them. They had great years. They're great players. Okay, minus Adam Scott didn't have a good year, but he's a great player.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't have a good week, and you got to lead from the top. So this year wouldn't matter. But generally speaking, the argument has always been there's not enough depth in the international time, and I would agree with that. The other thing suggested was that we should take the handcuffs off the captains. You can play anybody whenever you feel like it. You don't have to play somebody X amount of times. So that way, if the international team bumps into four or five hot guys, which they have never done since 98, but if they do, they can ride with them. They can run them. Pound those horses into the ground. Dance with who brought you to the ball, so to speak, right? I kind of agree with that, too. Then I like both of those choices, and I don't want to have like a harsh reaction to what we just saw, or you know, because sometimes we, you know, the last thing we saw is the most important thing. Let's remember 2 years ago in Korea, this was a very close.
It came down to the last hole,
right? But I think those are two good decisions. Go 3 days, less points, like the Ryder Cup, and take the handcuffs off the captains. Play whoever you like when you like. I don't like the rest of the suggestions. The rest of the suggestions are things like we should go half LPGA Tour, half PGA Tour. Yeah. I'm not saying that wouldn't be a fun competition. I'd love to see that competition. I think the international game on the ladies' scale is fantastic. I think Brooke Henderson's a prime example of that. The reason I don't like it is you're blowing up the President's Cup, and that's not what it was supposed to be. So out of those theories, is there ones you like, ones you don't like, and is there something I haven't touched on that you think might
help? One thing that will be different in 2019 is when it is being played. So this year it was obviously played end of September into October, or into very early October. In 2019, it's in December. So players will have the rest. Will they be in form, or will there be some rust? Who knows? But I think having the tournament so much later after the FedEx Cup will help the guys who have been, you know, going all out for the, you know, all summer basically, and then they have that time off to really get their act together.
You know what's scary about what you're saying, though?
It's for the American side as well.
Because if you look at this team, we're speaking more to Team USA in this particular year, not necessarily in 2 years, but who were the guys fighting down the stretch? DJ, Spieth, Thomas. The only player on the international side that really had anything left to say about anything near the end was Jason Day. Hideki limped to East Lake.
Yeah, he wasn't. Well, and Leishman.
Well, I guess Leishman with his win.
He had a good playoff. He didn't have the best tour championship.
Right.
But they're in quite a pickle right now, because if the U.S. had clinched on the Saturday,
oh my God,
what would have happened? Like,
I don't know. I gotta be honest, and I gotta be honest. I think, first of all, Jason Day is one of my favorite people on the planet, and his wife is one of the most lovely people on the planet as well. They're great people. They really are. So I got to preference that feeling, that personal attachment there. So I'm not trying to say this to be mean, but part of me was saying, I want it from a historical perspective to see that, because it's going to be a wash anyway. This thing's over. So I think if it's going to be over and Sunday is going to be a parade, which was very boring television, then it would have been better to have the history on the Saturday, Adam.
Yeah, well, and before we go, I'll get into it later on with the U.S. press conference after they won, which is hilarious.
That was classic.
But DJ did say it was just a weird day because we sort of knew we were going to win. It was kind of like you were playing around with your buddies. Patrick Reed was saying that him and Louis Oosthuizen chatted the whole time.
Turned into a practice round.
Yeah.
And that's not what the Sunday of the President's Cup should be.
That's what it should be.
I should say this before we take our break. On the other side, Adam Stanley's going to join us. We're going to talk a little web.com, a couple of new Canadians on the PGA Tour. Always like catching up with Adam. But before we take our break, I should say this. In 1998, the international team, it was the only international team to ever win the President's Cup. This event was founded in 1994. So we're going on 23-plus years of history here, playing every other year, obviously, of course. This was the 11th playing, I believe, the President's Cup. Was the 11th?
I think it was the 12th.
Or the 12th. Okay.
Yeah. One of the two.
One of the two. In 1998, international team won. It's the only time they ever won. That team had Ernie Els, Greg Norman, Steve Elkington, Vijay Singh, Stuart Appleby. It was Nick Price. It was a who's who of the international landscape of golf. I think everybody sat back and said, wow, the game's going global. The game's going international. In 20 years, this team's going to be awesome with the growth in India, the growth in Asia. That we overshot the bow. That was a crescendo of international golf, and we're waiting for the next wave to come around now. And the golf community is often guilty of that. When Tiger came around, we thought it was the new norm. We treated it like it was the new norm, and it was a blip on the radar. And now we're all reacting to post-Tiger, TV ratings, courses being built, manufacturers, etc. And now I kind of think the President's Cup might be following in the same footsteps.
Yeah,
so, all right. On the other side, we'll talk more cup half full. Because guess what? Two new Canadians. They're playing this week, by the way, as the Safeway Open, the PGA Tour kicked off this week. We'll get into that later as well. But Adam Stanley joining us next to talk web.com and two new Canadians on tour. This is GTC.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by TaylorMade and the all-new P790 irons with speed foam technology. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to GTC. Zucchino in studio, Mr. Weeks at the Chicago Marathon. Mr. Adam Scully sitting in for Weeksy this week as we break down everything and anything in the world of golf. And one of the big stories in the world of golf is that the PGA Tour kicks off their season this week. I know, we'll get into that later. It's the Safeway Open. It's happening in Napa Valley. But one of the great things about the Safeway Open and the start of the new PGA Tour season is we get to see all the graduates, or a great deal of the graduates anyway, from the web.com tour. And our next guest does a lot of great writing in Canada covering golf and some other topics as well, but also covers the web.com tour for pgatour.com. He is Adam Stanley, friend of the show. Adam, how are you, my friend? And where are you calling in from this morning? What part of the globe, sir?
Doing very well, guys. Hope you're both well. And I'm just here at home in Ottawa this weekend, maybe heading up to the cottage for a little Thanksgiving family time a little bit later, but always happy to jump on and chat with you guys.
Thank you for joining us. Before we jump into the web.com tour finals in general, and you know, maybe you can give us a bit of a nod on what you saw through the playoffs and who you think might, you know, have that Mackenzie Hughes moment maybe this fall from coming off that tour. Two new Canadians. What did you see from them? What do you like from their games? And what do you expect in the early going from Ben and Corey?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at Ben Silverman, and he just was so steady all year long. And he finally, he notched a victory. And funny enough, he won the exact same event that Mackenzie Hughes won a year ago And even crazier was all sort of the domino effect after what happened. I mean, he won the same event. He won doing it the same way, birdieing the 72nd hole. He won using the same local caddy that Mackenzie Hughes used a year ago. He won and he moved to the exact same spot on the money list Mackenzie Hughes moved to a year ago as well. So it was pretty crazy how that all unfolded. It was either the next week or the week after when him and his wife had their first child. And then he just notched the three of the next four events were all top tens for him as well. So he's a little bit older than some of the other guys. He's 29, but just so steady and a really, really good head on his shoulders. He made the cut this week at the Safeway Open. So certainly off to as good a start as he could have asked for. So, you know, like I said, a little older, a little bit more, more, you know, mature. His life is in a bit of a different stage than the rest of the guys. So I definitely see a fine career ahead for Ben, the fact that he's finally made it to the PGA Tour. Then we've got Corey. I mean, Corey went to college with Mackenzie. They're longtime friends. Corey has a degree in actuary mathematics. The guy's probably the smartest guy on the PGA Tour. And I think that is going to serve him very well. Derek Ingram has told me many times that, you know, he's one of the smartest guys on the golf course. He just breaks things down really, really well. And he told me last week that he switched drivers to a brand new Ping model, gained 20 yards immediately, and he switched putters as well, and he's been putting better than he has all season long. So a little switch with the driver, switch with the putter. He's also made the cut this week in California, and who knows, maybe we'll see another Kent State alum notch their first PGA Tour victory later on this fall.
And Adam, Corey Connors is a rookie, but he did play in the Masters in 2015, the U.S. Open this past year. You said three top tens on the web this year. What kind of success do you think he can have this year?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Those two stages are arguably the biggest in the sport. I mean, save for maybe the team events and, of course, the other two majors. But, you know, he's checked those boxes already. And he told me, yeah, he leaned on those experiences even this year on the web.com tour when he was, you know, maybe in contention or really needed to make a birdie, make a cut, notch another good result. He said, you know, those are invaluable experiences. Those are experiences that not everyone has. So to have those already at such a young age and just be able to kick off his career with a good result, making a cut here. And, you know, he just is so steady. He hits the ball a long way. Great, great iron game, great short game, great head on his shoulders, great support system as well. So all those things, I think, really add up to the kind of career and the kind of start to a career that we saw from Mackenzie Hughes a year ago. So, you know, it's all well and good for us to be Canadian and want to see Canadians have success, but Corey Connors has shown in a very short period of time that he can really hang with some of the best in the world. So I wouldn't be surprised to see some early success from him.
And one thing on Ben Silverman, which I found interesting reading one of your articles, is that he didn't play his first tournament until he was 16 years old. Is that a little unorthodox, you think?
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, he grew up, I think it was playing hockey at a pretty high level. And, you know, then he got to the point where, I mean, he's not a very big guy anymore. I think he was just quick. And, you know, he's growing up just north of Toronto. And, you know, it was, then he made that switch. And he, at the outset, he's like, I want to make the PGA Tour before I'm 30. And he's 29 this year, and he's done it. So he didn't ever feel like he was rushing to get to the PGA Tour. He just had that end goal of wanting to get there then. So, yeah, he's 29, but he said he feels, you know, 24, 25 on the golf course because it didn't start so late. However, you know, all that time spent working on his craft, you know, maybe having to catch up to guys who've been playing their whole lives, has certainly paid off, you know, as he's at the promised land now.
We're with Adam Stanley, covering the web.com tour for PGAtour.com. You know, it's funny. What's happened to the world that we're talking about 29 like it's old? What happened? You just have to wait till you were 32 to even think about winning on the PGA Tour, yeah. Right? Unbelievable. Adam, obviously there was more going on the web.com tour this year and in the finals than the Canadian story itself. We have strength in numbers again moving forward as Team Canada on the PGA Tour in 2017-18. Was there someone, however, outside of Team Canada that really popped up on your radar this year, even maybe necessarily before the finals, because I know here's, you know, Chesson Hadley again having some momentum coming into this new season, but somebody else who you go, that guy belongs at the big show and would not be surprised to see him win in his rookie campaign?
Yeah, certainly. I think there's two names that really jump out. The first is Aaron Wise. Aaron Wise had a tremendous year on the Mackenzie Tour, PGA Tour Canada, a couple seasons ago. He was fresh off leading the University of Oregon to the NCAA team championship. Just is an amazing, amazing player. He hits the ball so far. He's got all the skills, great head on his shoulders as well. So he's won on every level. He won on the Web.com Tour this year, and he won on the Mackenzie Tour 2 years ago. So he's just done the progression that a lot of people thought he would do. And I think it's just a matter of time before he wins on the PGA Tour. The other guy that stands out is Steven Yeager. That name may ring a bell for some people because he shot 58 a year ago. He did it about a week or two before Jim Furyk. He won that event by finishing at 30 under par for the 4 days. And then he actually won two more times on the Web.com Tour this season. He finished in the top 25 on the money list. So he's going to be on the PGA Tour this year as well. So he's a guy who clearly is not afraid to go low. He's proved it time and time again. He's not afraid to win either. So those two names, certainly, they stand out as ones that I think are going to find the winner's circle sooner rather than later. But Tyler Duncan, who's leading this week through two rounds, I mean, he earned his PGA Tour card not 2 weeks ago via the Web.com Tour Finals as well, having spent the whole year on the Web.com Tour. So, yeah, there's some major names, but there's also some names that you think, oh, well, how did this guy get here? Well, he played well enough during the Web.com Tour Finals to earn his card. So those Web.com Tour graduates are popping up all over the place.
Adam, before we let you go, I need to get your opinion. I'm curious. Obviously, I know you were covering the finals and whatnot over the last few weeks, but I also know you were engaged with the President's Cup. It was just a beating, 19-11. For the last month and a half, 2 months, I've been saying that this was going to be an absolute beating. I was hoping I was wrong, but I could just see the writing on the wall that this was going to be a U.S. pounding. We've tossed around some possible changes. You've heard the possible changes. Do any of the possible changes make sense for you as we move forward with the next President's Cup? Is there something out there or something that you think hasn't been talked about that could fix this competition without it being such a knee-jerk reaction, without trying to, you know, blow up the wheel and suggest we got to have, you know, the LPGA Tour involved and things of that nature?
Yeah, I think I read somewhere about how the President's Cup should become like peer picks, where you've got one guy gets chosen by the captain and then he chooses a partner, and then the next guy gets chosen by the captain and then he chooses a partner. So it's a full on, just like, you know, we've got somebody who's going to partner up with somebody else. So it's not just teams of two the whole way around, but, you know, the top six guys choose the next six guys. So I think that would certainly allow for a little bit more team camaraderie. You know, it's funny, one of the PGAtour.com writers, Ben Everill, he's from Australia, and, you know, he's a big rugby fan, and he's like, you know, it's hard for Australians and South Africans to, you know, really get along insofar as sports goes, because, you know, they're lifetime rivals in rugby. They were playing against one another, and it was like life and death. So when you've got that, and yet you need to be, you know, really chummy on the golf course, it's a little tough versus the American side. So if there was a little bit more of that camaraderie that we see on the American side flowing through the international side, maybe it would be a little bit more competitive. So, you know, if the top six guys end up choosing the next six guys, maybe we'll see a couple more friendships in there versus some, you know, some forced friendships as it unfolded just, you know, last week. A lot of these guys didn't really know each other until last week when they were all thrown in the team room together.
You know, it was very close. I thought I was going to get the tap at one point there. Adam, it was getting so bad, I thought I was going to get pulled in for the international spot. I really did. That's why I was grinding out my putting in the hallway of the hotel, just in case.
There you go.
Adam, thanks so much, man. Have a great Thanksgiving. Have a great... I'm sure we'll talk to you again at some point over the off season. Maybe we'll have you jump in on some of our year in review or something like that, have you call in. But always love your stuff. Thanks for jumping in with Golf Talk Canada through the season. We'll talk to you over the holidays, and happy Thanksgiving, buddy.
Yeah, no worries, man. Always happy to do it.
Thanks, Adam pal. Stanley, you can follow him at Adam_Stanley, covering the Web.com Tour for PGAtour.com, and covering the world of golf, amongst other things. Mm-hmm. So, Adam, we're going to take a break. On the other side, you and I will do a leaderboard update, which there isn't much this week.
But the PGA Tour is playing.
PGA Tour is playing, so we will jump into that and give that update as well. We'll also tell our listening audience how they can help us with our one-hour Golf Talk Canada television Christmas special. We need your help, and we're going to ask you for your help. We'll do that next. This is Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by Moto Caddy and Stewart Golf Dream Machines, the Canadian market leader in electric walking golf trolleys. Sold in over 30 countries around the world, they offer the widest selection of golf trolleys for players of all ages, abilities, and budgets. For more information, visit jpsmgolf.com. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment of Golf Talk Canada is brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit WeatherTech.ca. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. Zucchino in studio with Mr. Adam Scully as we wind down our national hour. Still lots to come. Ian Fraser's going to be by from TXG. We're going to do winners, weird, and what. Lots to get to. However, first let's do some leaderboards. There's not a ton of golf going on. A couple of important ones. The PGA Tour has kicked off the new season. And Mr. Scully will get into this coming up, but it is an event, the Safeway Open in Napa, the kickoff to the 2017-18 PGA Tour campaign, the wraparound schedule. And Tyler Duncan with the lead, a one-shot lead over Brandon Steele, a two-shot lead over Chesson Hanley, so the Web.com Tour well represented in the early stages. Graham Dillette, the low Canadian in this one. We had many Canadians in the field. Dillette, low man at T6, right now at 8 under par. Nick Taylor, down the board, along with Corey Connors at 5 under par. Hernsey also making the cut. Silverman at 3 under par. So well done, Team Canada. A few Canadian flags not making it to the weekend, but overall, Canada in pretty good shape with 36 holes to go. One of my favorite events happening this week at the on the European Tour.
Yes, the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship, St. Andrews, Carnoustie, Kings Barnes. Unbelievable. Great, great tournament. Tyrell Hatton is your leader right now, a four-shot lead right now in the third round, which is currently in progress over Matt Wallace and Tommy Fleetwood, who I'll get into a little later in the show in Winners, Weird, and What. And Nicholas Kolsart, good to see him up there as well. He's five shots off the lead.
That's great. Do you love that event, the Dunhill, like that?
It's just spectacular. It's great. Like, three great golf courses.
That's so cool.
A lot of guys, you know, playing some sort of amateur or celebrity.
It kind of reminds me of the European Tour's version of the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, it's just a great tournament. And especially here in Canada, it's on early in the morning.
Now, I know you've done trips overseas. Have you done that loop of St. Andrews?
No, not yet.
Got to do that.
It's on the bucket list.
Got to do that loop, buddy.
Yeah.
Took me years to do it. I did, you know, I didn't get over there to do the St. Andrews loop until my 30s. Mm. So you got a long way to go.
I do. Although I have a couple gray hairs, so I'm not quite. Not quite
yeah. But man, it was, that's a fun loop. And I'll tell you what's great about that trip too. You know, if you're a golf enthusiast and you want to jump in and make the voyage, now you got to plan for this well in advance. Mm-hmm. So I suggest everybody reach out to Golfway Tours,
right
PJ Rule, right now. If you have any interest, you got to plan the St. Andrews trip much further in advance. You have to plan any other golf outing because the tee times are so difficult to get at the old course. St. Andrews, you can get them, but you need to plan well in advance. But what's great about that is typically these adventures, these Irish and Scottish adventures, the majority of them, you move around a little. Yeah. You know, it's two nights in one hotel, three nights in another, two nights, and you're moving around. It's not a huge pain because, you know, the overall experience is fantastic. But the moving around at the end of the week, you feel like, hey, man, we, you know, that was a bit of work involved. St. Andrews, you go. You land, you get to the town of St. Andrews, and you're there for a week. You don't move. Because from St. Andrews, you've got the Old Course, the Jubilee, the New, the Castle, Kings Barnes, Dukes, Carnoustie, even Murfield you can access from there, right? So it's like you can play, like the Rota that you can play on a St. Andrews golf holiday and not move and always have the home base in the town of St. Andrews is spectacular.
Well, and that's really interesting because I've mentioned before I'm planning another Ireland trip with some dads and lads in 2 summers. And I think we have 3 or 4 different sort of places we're going to stay.
Yeah, so, 3 home bases over a week, right? Yeah. And listen, there's nothing wrong with that. I've done that a million times, and there's no way around it except in St. Andrews.
Yeah.
So
Bucket list for sure.
Bucket list. All right. Only a few minutes left before we say goodbye to our national audience. Before we do, Skull, we have a Christmas special coming.
Do we ever?
We are asking you, what are the top 18 holes of golf in Canada? We're asking you for your favorite par 3, your favorite par 4, and your favorite par five. We want you to reach out to us on social media with the hashtag GTCTop18. GTCTop18 at Golf Talk Canada on Twitter, at Golf Talk Canada on Instagram. It can be anything you want. We're going to social media. We're asking you, what are the best par four, par three, and par five in the country? On our Christmas special, we will assemble all the interactions on social media along with our expert panel of Canadian golf experts, and we will unveil the top 72 hole par 72 golf course in the country. Fictional, of course.
Of course.
Right. And we will unveil the 6.5s, the 6.4s, and the 6.3s. And it should be a lot of fun because we've had a lot of great lists in this country of, you know, best golf courses, best private, best resort, best public, etc. But to narrow down just the greatest imaginary 18, I think is very cool, and I'm looking forward to it.
And it's interesting because it'll be sort of in the same format in terms of holes as Cabot Cliffs is, which is 6.4, 6.5,
which
6.3.
I love the layout.
And I'm sure there'll be a couple.
At least one I think would make it, which is probably the most photographed hole in the world at the moment. But
yes, and I bailed way left on that.
So we are asking you again, hashtag GTC Top 18 through Twitter and Instagram at Golf Talk Canada, and we are asking you what is your top par four, par five, and par three in the country, and we're not giving you criteria. You use your own criteria. Yep. Is it beauty? Is it challenge? Is it history? Is it a combination of all three? You go. You tell us why. We'll marry it with the information from our expert panel, and we will unveil it at our Christmas special, the top 18 holes in Canada. All right. We will say goodbye to our national audience. Coming up next, Ian Fraser, TXG Golf, the leader in custom fitting and custom build and technology here in the Southern Ontario area. We'll do winners, weird, and what. More GTC coming up. For those of you listening in a terrestrial signal that does not get the rest of Golf Talk Canada, we're sorry. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, a safe Thanksgiving. Thank you so much for listening. Remember, first good decision on the golf course always starts in the closet.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit weathertech.ca. Thank you for listening, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at golftalkcanada.ca. We'll be right back with more GTC. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to GTC, the bonus 30 for those of you listening on TSN 1050 in Toronto, TSN 1150 in Hamilton, online, the iHeartRadio app, or any other select markets picking up the additional 30. Welcome back to GTC. Zucchino is in studio with Mr. Adam Scully as Mr. Bob Weeks is running the Chicago Marathon today. So good luck, Bob, or this weekend. I don't know if it's today. I think it's tomorrow. Okay.
Early tomorrow morning.
If you are in the market for new clubs, or even if you're not in the market for new clubs and you want to know if what you are playing with is the right move, do they fit you? You know, are you getting the most out of your swing, out of your equipment? You have not been through a custom fitting experience in a long time, or any kind of lesson that uses the modern technologies of learning about your golf swing and learning about how these tools interact and work with your body. You probably want to get up to TXG. Now, they have a location in Burlington. They have a location in Toronto. I've been to the location in Toronto. They've done great work for me. And our next guest is the man behind it and the man who knows his stuff inside out, Mr. Ian Fraser, joining us now. Ian, how are you this morning, man?
Morning, Mark.
How are we doing? Everything all good? We're at the shop this morning?
We're at the shop. Yep, bright and early, ready for the day.
Now, TXG.ca is the website. It's custom fitting, it's custom built, it's repair, it's memberships, and it's the cutting edge of science. And it's really, kind of bringing the tour van, I like to say, to the consumer. I have to ask you, because you and I had a chat a couple weeks ago, and I was curious. I started this in this business when I was 15 years old. Okay, that's many, many moons ago. And we used to custom fit at a place called Dynamic Golf at the time, which was the only real golf chain, that in Nevada Bob's at the time, but really Dynamic Golf was the serious player's place to go when you want a golf equipment. We used to do a lie board for lies. We used to do length, and we used to go, do you slice it? If so, you need a weaker shaft, and if you hook it, you need a stiffer shaft. Like, it was so archaic. Now, fast forward to where we are now, even to where we were, say, 5 years ago, and it was all about TrackMan.
Right.
But you said to me, what you've learned in the last 3 or 4 years since the TrackMan phenomena has opened up a Pandora's box of the learning. And I was curious, because we didn't have a chance to get into it. How dynamic, how much have you learned in the last, say, 3, 4 years that maybe you know the general public doesn't even know about yet? And how has it changed the way you deal with a customer?
Well, I think that's such a golf isn't there yet with quite understanding a lot of these things that happen when we miss hit shots, when we use certain shafts that aren't right for us, heads that aren't right for us. So what we are learning now is, you know, we're learning what happens properly on a toe strike. So for example, Mark, when we used to use TrackMan indoor, and TrackMan's a phenomenal company. I've absolutely loved using them since I first had one on the European Tour in 2006. But you know, what we learned was indoor, it was very limited because it would show the deflection of the head on an off-center strike. So for a right-handed golfer, a toe strike, the head would open and TrackMan would show the ball would go to the right. Well, we all know when we hit one on the course, if we hit one out the toe, we tend to get a bit of a hooky flight, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we are learning, and the technology we use now, which is called GC Quad by Foresight, we're now able to measure that gear effect, measure that curvature, learn how the shaft twists, droops, and flexes exactly for the golfer. So there's absolutely nothing that we can't dial in. So we know when we can make you play your best when you're playing good, but we also know we can really limit the damage when you're not playing your best and hitting it off center.
Ian, question for you. Just as a golfer who I've been fit for, I think, 2 or 3 or 4 sets now, but there are still people out there who don't get fit. Like they'll go into a golf shop and say, I want this set of irons. I want to hit them 2 or 3 times and then, you know, go play. But talk about the importance of actually getting fit, all of the specifications that go into that, because obviously it's such a crucial factor in your golf game.
Yeah, absolutely, Adam. And I think Mark nailed it in the intro in that you don't need to, you know, you don't need to go all out every time and buy new clubs, but at least treat yourself once a year to an evaluation. Come in and see guys like us, you know, come in and use the leading technology in the industry and at least get a benchmark for where your set is right now and how it's performing and whether how that stands within the modern technology. So, you know, that's what we preach to our customers. Just come in and do that. And then the rest is up to you. We'll deliver the results. We'll give you our evaluation and our thoughts. And then we'll go from there. But at least start at that point.
We're with Ian Fraser from TXG. That's TXG.ca. Check them out if you're in the Southern Ontario region and you're thinking at all about new clubs or again, an evaluation or potential a place to practice where you're going to learn. And that's what I wanted to get into next, Ian, because TXG, obviously leader in custom fitting, custom build, club repair. You've done custom grinds for me on wedges, things of that nature.
Yeah.
But it's also a place to come and use the latest technology as well to get the most out of your practice in the off season, because I always say this to everybody. I've said this from day one. If you're thinking of making changes or any type of overhauls to your golf game, it is better to do it in the winter when you're not concerned about the number on the paper. Because quite often when you go through changes, you can go backwards before you go forward. And if you give yourself some time over the winter, by the time that peg goes in the ground in the spring, you might have given yourself the opportunity to own those changes. So tell us a little bit about the memberships and the technology that people can take advantage of if they jump in with a TXG membership.
Yeah, 100%. And we have obviously such a long off season here in Canada. So, you know, we felt that offering a high-end practice membership would be very beneficial to the golf community and both around the Burlington and Toronto area. And also, like we were talking about, they're using the technology that we have. It's all about feedback. So when you're practicing, Mark, and you've got your changes in mind and maybe you're working with a coach, you want to make sure that the feedback that you're getting on your swing and on the ball flight is absolutely accurate. So we offer 60 practice memberships. We offer 15 at the Burlington location and 45 at the Toronto location. So, and that runs from November through to the end of April. So that really takes you into the season where you can hit the ground running.
All right, Ian, I know you're going to be a regular with us and your team throughout the winter. You'll be doing the Golf Talk Canada TXG Tip of the Day, which we're going to bring back. Oh. So we're going to do that starting in the next few weeks and run that throughout the winter. And you'll chime in with us over the winter to keep us up to date on things happening and learnings. We're going to take these topics one at a time as opposed to trying to do them all in 8 minutes together. We're going to take these things and dive into them a little deeper over the winter.
Absolutely.
And I'm looking forward to it with you. So have a happy Thanksgiving.
Yep,
enjoy
you
your
too,
long weekend.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and we will jump in and do this on the regular from now till the start of the golf season in Ontario, and I'm looking forward to it, my friend.
Awesome. Looking forward to it. Okay, thanks, guys.
Ian Fraser, there he is, txg.ca, txg.ca, Burlington, Toronto, 416-331-9229.
That's exciting.
This is the time of year that I kind of enjoy a little bit because I am constantly drowning in the PGA Tour, which we'll get to next. And I think, you know, there's so much more other topics that we can discuss to just get into that are interesting to listenership, might even help someone. Okay, we don't do a lot of instruction. I find instruction on the radio sometimes when I hear it on other shows extremely painful. I'm not a fan of it. But if we can give some learnings over the winter, this time of year, I think it's valuable at this time of year where we talk more travel, some instruction, things of that nature.
Well, and people, obviously, once golf season's still going on, but once it's starting to start winding down, they want to know how to get better, what they can work on in the winter. And TXG is a great place that you can really become a better player, become a more consistent player, and that's why it's so exciting for people listening from coast to coast.
Ooh, we got one-stop shopping, txg.ca. All right, on the other side, 3-dub. Winners win and what? Adam has a bone to pick. We'll do it next. This is GTC.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by St. Kitts, the Caribbean's most welcoming golf experience. Follow your heart to breathtaking golf in warm, inviting St. Kitts. For information on wonderful resorts and championship courses, visit golfawaytours.com today. This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, is brought to you by the Muskoka Bay Club. Live, stay, and play at our award-winning championship golf course. Visit MuskokaBayResort.com today. Now, here are your hosts, Mark Zacchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to GTC. Zacchino, Weeks at the Marathon in Chicago, Scully in studio. All right, we've waited long enough. It's that time. As Mr. Weeks would refer to it as 3-dub. Winners, weird or what? I know we have lots of material.
Oh, yeah. Tons.
Adam and I are both upset about the same thing.
We are.
And he you were right there with me. I was right going to, and then I got your email. I'm like, all right, I'm backing off. I'm just going to be in a support role. So I'm going to let you rant.
Perfect.
And it's 3-dub, winners, weird or what? And Adam, you have the tee.
So what do I do? Just aim for the pond?
No, you're not supposed to hit it into the water.
But you hit it into the water.
I know I hit it into the water.
Well, why do they even have water if you're not supposed to hit it there?
Because it's fun! We're having fun!
Look, it went further than your ball.
All right, here we go. My winner this week is Tommy Fleetwood, who set a course record at Carnoustie on Friday. They've been playing golf at Carnoustie for 167 years.
It's insane.
And Tommy Fleetwood is the first to 63. That's pretty impressive. Also impressive, he became a father earlier this week.
Good week for Tommy Fleetwood. At 63, we're seeing all these records fall. 63s on Saturdays at the U.S. Open. 62 at the British Open. First time ever in competition. Now this. You can go your own way, Tommy Fleetwood.
Definitely. And a big breakout year for Tommy Fleetwood as well. Okay, here we go. My weird. What is up with the offseason in the PGA Tour? 11 days between Justin Thomas winning the FedEx Cup and the players teeing off at the Safeway Open. Right. I'm going to go through some other leagues.
All right.
NHL.
Yep.
115-day offseason. Okay. Still pretty short.
115. All right.
NBA. Yep. 136.
Wow.
Okay. A little longer.
All right.
MLB, 152 days. Wow. 162-game schedule. Also too long.
Wow.
NFL. probably the most entertaining thing in
team sport. Yes, in team regular sport season, and the especially right.
215-day off season. And PGA Tour 11.
Okay, and I would like to do something else here now. I would also like to minus 4 days from that 11. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm going to minus 5 because of pro-ams and practice round responsibilities. So 6. And the reason I'm calling the PGA Tour off-season 6 days is because they call their 11-day off-season the President's Cup. Okay?
That's what is going on?
All right? I'm with you, Adam. It's ridiculous. They need to address this when they redo the schedule. And I'm telling you right now, they're not. I heard Bob's interview with Jay Monahan. Yeah. I've had my ear to the ground at PGA Tour HQ. I'm all over this because it affects my travel schedule. It affects what I do for
a
living.
It's not gonna change.
It is not changing. This is not going away. And it is what it is.
It's, that's, yeah.
I hear you, buddy.
We could do 90 minutes on this stuff.
That would be 90 rants, 90 minutes of ranting.
Okay, my what this week? What a presser by the United States. they certainly had a couple cocktails before their presser and during their presser, I may say, as well. And it was definitely interesting being there in person, watching Jordan Spieth, DJ, even Tiger, perhaps. Yeah. Phil was definitely a little loopy. Yeah. It was.
I loved
it. It was hilarious.
I thought it was great. Yeah. You never see it. It was what a moment because you don't get to see them in that light ever.
Yeah.
And it's like the curtain falling.
Well, and it reminded me when the Europeans won at Medina, the Ryder Cup.
Yes.
When they were passing the drinks, it was pass the drink, Sergio, and he's literally passing cups of beer to guys right across the row. It was the funniest thing ever.
It was the press conference brought to you by Grey Goose, right? That's what it felt like.
It might have been something else, too. Yeah.
And if you haven't seen the press conference, go to the Golf Talk Canada YouTube channel. You can hit it through our website or just go to YouTube and put in Golf Talk Canada. And we've got
we put a little montage together
from last week's show, which was fantastic. All right, Adam, the tea is mine.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
All right, Adam, my winner this week, lefty, Phil Mickelson. You know, now I'm a lefty fanatic. Everybody knows I don't hide the fact that I'm a fan, and I was suggesting from the last 2 months that lefty should be a part of this President's Cup team. We brought it up for debate on Golf Talk Canada, and you know, depending on which way the wind was blowing that week, it seemed to be a mixed thing. He goes 3-0-1, undefeated, popular with all the kids, good in the dressing room. And I love the moment and the transparency with Roger Maltby talking about how the kids now all get along and cheer each other on. And it took Phil almost 2 decades to figure that out, along with his contemporaries like Tiger. And there was a great moment there on the 18th green in the team competition earlier when he made a birdie and Tiger gave him the fist pump right before the three amigos. And then the big hug at the end between Tiger and Phil. Well done, Phil. Future Ryder Cup captain, or President's Cup, or both. And I'm not so sure his playing days are over yet. If you ask me right now, I'm going to tell you Phil Mickelson will be in Paris playing for the U.S. Ryder Cup team.
And hey, Phil's off to a great start this season on the PGA Tour. He's tied for 15th.
69-69.
Yeah,
well done, Phil Mickelson. My weird this week, and it keeps getting weirder with Rory. Rory McIlroy coming off maybe the most disappointing year of his career. Mixed signals. I'm working out because I need to work out earlier in the year, and then I'm stopping to work out. You know, I'm on the verge of a breakthrough. I'm lost in the wilderness. Comments near the end of the season, I'm tired, I'm sore, you may not see me the rest of the way, I need to heal. What has he done since those comments? Nothing but play golf. Last week he suggested his diets affect the gum. He may have allergies to foods and whatnot. He also said he eats like a dog. You put it in front of him, he squashes it. And now this week, with a mic in his face at the Dunhill in Europe, he suggested that his goal is to be the greatest European Tour player of all time, which I think he's capable of being, and then surpass Gary Player as the greatest international player of all time. I love hearing those comments from Rory. I get it. The whole thing's just weird. Every time he opens his mouth, it's another question mark.
Yeah.
He played well last week, almost grabbed the W. I think he finished second, three off the pace.
64-63.
Yeah, so he played great. I get it. So there's signs of improvement. But Rory, we got to slow this thing down, man. We need some consistency. We need a plan. The change for the sake of change is killing you. Stop changing things for the sake of change. We need to settle this thing down. And I know Rory's career has always looked like this. There's spikes and valleys, but this valley feels a little deeper for me right now because of all the change.
Well, and even all the change, we remember earlier in the season, or I guess midway through the season, when he used three different putters on three consecutive days?
That's what I mean.
Like, when have you ever seen
you
that?
You need to commit to something at this level, mm-hmm. and there's the commitment of a plan is not there.
And obviously, it was a big year for him getting married,
yes.
and the equipment
more
change and everything.
Change. Ball but, change, equipment change, marriage.
And as he said...
Caddy.
Well, and that's a huge... Who's going to be his caddy now?
Right. So...
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll have to see.
The
but
time
that,
of change, yeah.
It's too much change for Rory. Mm-hmm. My what this week, and I'm going to take this both ways... But it really comes off the comments of a blog written by Audrey Leachman, who's a lovely lady, by the way. Her and Mark Leachman have a lovely family. They're really great. I called Mark's win at Bay Hill earlier this year. They're great people. So this is nothing personal. But there were some comments made in her blog that suggesting that the fans at the President's Cup were offside, that she heard people cheering balls into the water. She took offense to Daniel Berger's comments that, you know, we want to squash them. And she said it's not the golf she knows, and she doesn't like the energy around this team event. We've heard this time and time again from the Ryder Cup as well. Now, I am not disagreeing with Audrey, but here's the problem. The problem is this. This comes around once a year in the Ryder Cup or President's Cup. And when you get the energy and the edginess that we love from these events once a year, and once a year is enough, but when you get that edginess and you get that fire and you get that energy in the crowd like you get at any other sports event around the globe, whether it be football, hockey, baseball, etc., you got to take the good with the bad. Occasionally, it will cross the line. That's what happens. But you can't get the good stuff unless you get the bad stuff. So I will say this as we get ready to close the show. If you want to shut up the rudeness, if you don't want to hear get in the water, if you don't want to hear squash them, mm-hmm. try winning one of these.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Go out and win, and everybody shuts up.
Well, and aside to that, on more of a lighter note, I should say, on the first tee, Audrey?
Yes.
Audrey? She mentioned some of the rude chants and cheering for balls in the water. But some of the chants in the first tee for the President's Cup were pretty good.
Right.
They're pretty funny.
There's that soccer kind of mentality with the singing and the chanting. And some are and like, again, if you're going to accept the good of the Ryder Cup and President's Cup, which is that edginess and that the singing and the chanting, and I can remember Bubba Watson a few years ago encouraging noise as he hit his opening tee shot. All these things that we love that are great once a year because it is a team event. And if golf comes close to a team sport, you know, for the only time in a season, there's going to be the bad.
Yep.
You can't open up that box and then, you know, decide what you want to hear. It doesn't go that way. You don't have a filter on these people. So if you want to shut them up, put a win on the board.
Yep.
You know?
Couldn't agree more.
As we go. Mr. Scully, thank you so much. You'll be back in that chair next week because Bob will be in this chair. Yours truly.
Are you also running in a marathon?
I am not running in a marathon. I am in a pizza marathon. I am going to Italy with my family. We're going to visit Rome and Venice, and I'm going to try to keep up with Heather as she eats her way through Italy and remains 100 pounds soaking wet. And I eat my way through Italy, and I come home, and there's a moo-moo waiting for me at Pearson International because that's how this goes. Yes, I do my best Homer Simpson impression. I want to wish a happy birthday to Robert Arms, Roberto Omez, a regular listener, good friend of mine. I was at his party last night. Happy birthday,
happy
Roberto.
Birthday.
And give a shout out to Dr. J, because the doc and I, who's, you know, the leader of the Golf Talk Canada Whack Pack, Dr. J and I, we're supposed to hit the Argos game. I don't think we're hitting the Argos game with this weather. I think we're certainly going to be behind the glass at the Leaf game tonight as we start the parade to the Stanley Cup. Him and I are going to go down a little early to the Leaf game and start rooting out the Stanley Cup parade here in
Toronto. Have you been fit for it? Have you been fit for a ring yet?
I do. As part of the media, do we get rings?
Oh, that's
I don't know. It's tough.
Probably not.
Got to start the negotiation. Yeah. Maybe I got to get involved with the Leaf Golf Tournament to get that. All right, Adam. We'll see you in this chair next week with Bob, and I'll see you for TV this week for Golf Talk Canada Television. Remember, first good decision on the golf course always starts in the closet. Thank you so much for listening.
This segment of GTC, presented by Acura, was brought to you by the Muskoka Bay Club. Live, stay, and play at our award-winning championship golf course. Visit MuskokaBayResort.com today. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For blogs, show archives, video highlights, and TV schedule, visit us online at GolfTalkCanada.ca.